From You Can Book Me, this is Get More Done, the blueprint for managers to lead happy and productive teams. I'm Ben Dagavage, and my mission is to help you stomp out inefficiencies so you can focus on work that will grow your business. And how do you grow your revenue exponentially? Our guest today, Guillaume Aubeche, explains how he and his team at Lempire have gone from 0 to 10 million annual recurring revenue in just 3.5 years. Lempire is a family of different SaaS tools, all designed to help build the future of relationships. Their signature platform, Lemlist, helps sales teams boost sales with powerful automation. Guillaume shares how his team works best, why he doubled down with video, and how and why you should too. He also shares why doing things you shouldn't will lead to success. All of that on Get More Done, starting now. All right, welcome back to the Get More Done podcast, where we talk about all things productivity and helping you and your team level up. On today's episode, I'm sitting down with Guillaume Aubeche, the CEO and co-founder of Lempire, which is a SaaS conglomerate that helps B2B professionals build relationships. So Guillaume, or G, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks a lot for having me. I'm super pumped to be here as well.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I'm super pumped to learn everything about your journey and how you're doing things at Lempire. But before we get in that, we have an icebreaker question that we ask every guest to break the nerves up a little bit. And for you, since you love potatoes so much, if you were a potato, what way would you like to be cooked?
I guess I'll be like a French fries. I mean, with my accent, you know, like it's...
French fries. That's the easy one. That's the given one. Would you put anything on your French fries? How do you do French fries over there?
The way I like my French fries is when they are cooked several times. So what we call it is like you put the French fries first, and after that you have to fry them one more time. This is when they are like extra crispy and then a lot of salt. And yeah, that's just the way I like them.
Yeah, super crispy. I'm on board with that. Absolutely. Double fried. Usually when I say that over here, people are like, what? You want me to fry them again? I'm like, yes, cook them how I like them, please. Awesome. So take me back to the beginning of your journey. Because, I mean, you started out as a chemical engineer and now you're an entrepreneur. So how did you get started in business?
It's a good question. So after like I graduate like from master in chemical engineering, I also started studying marketing. And during my master in marketing, I wanted to, you know, like start doing real things. So I started like a business with my dad, which was like a t-shirt business. So the idea is like my dad can print on fabrics and I was doing business. So I was like, okay, I'm confident that I might be able to do something. We started it. Like, I think it took us 3 months to build a website, etc. I was putting a lot of pressure on my dad, so we have enough stock, you know, for when we press live. And when we pressed live, I was convinced that there would be obviously like thousands of people coming on the website and buying our t-shirts. But in the end, it didn't happen. I think we made like 6 sales, total fail. And after that, like my dad was, you know, like feeling bad because he didn't know what happened. On my end, I felt like shit because, yeah, my dad had like sacrificed a lot his entire life for my brother and me. And to me, it was super important to give back and be able like to kind of like build something with him was something important. But after a few months after that, I just like, I think our relationship didn't go like as well as it could have been. And I decided to kind of like stop the business and start with another friend, like a lead generation agency. So the idea of the agency was simple: help other companies find their clients. I knew that for me, it was difficult before. So I said like, okay, at least I can get paid to try to do it for others and see whether or not, you know, I can like level up my game. And I started doing a lot of like outbound and sales prospecting. And step by step, we had like clients a bit all over the world. And after using all the tools on the market, we're basically saying like, put your sales on autopilot, but actually, you know, like you have to do the work when you're a sales rep. I decided that, you know, like there gotta be like a better way, like a tool that could personalize and help you like do all these things without selling you an outcome that is not true and really deceptive. So in 2018, I decided like to start Lemlist, which is our most well-known software, which is like sales automation platform. And step by step, we grew it to where we are today. So north of $10 million, tens of thousands of customers worldwide, 85 plus countries, and a team of 50.
Yeah, what a journey from your first enterprise with six sales and now just pouring gasoline on it. And that's really awesome that you pivoted to like a digital framework too, because as you saw with like having actual merchandise and physical products, that can be quite a beast to get started. So it's really rad that you pivoted there. And as you've been building Lempire, like you've been doing it in public, which is really refreshing, you know, and you've mentioned that constraints force creativity. So I'd love to learn a little bit more about that and, you know, any examples that you may have about that.
Yeah, definitely. So to me, it's basically that, you know, like we started the company with $1,000 and now it's worth like more than $150 million and we never took any investment. And the thing is like at first, If we had money from the start, so let's say we had raised like $1 million or whatever, I can't say that we will be at the same stage today. Because the fact that we didn't have money back then forced us to do two things. The first one is like do all the things that don't scale. So at first I had like no ambition. When I started like my company, my ambition was like super small, meaning I want to be able to pay the rent and not my girlfriend anymore. So, you know, that was like my life goal, you know? And basically like step by step, I was like, okay, I need to get these first clients. I need to get the second one, the third one. And I was doing all these little things that don't scale, but that were extremely helpful because one, I was using my product a lot. And two, I was talking to our customers or potential prospect each and every day. And the fact that I didn't have the money, for example, to run ads or do all the things that you can, because when you have money, it's easy to be comfortable behind your computer and say like, oh, you know what? I can hire people that are going to do sales. I'll hire someone who do marketing. I'll hire like a support expert, et cetera, et cetera. But down the line, you are the owner, like you are the CEO. You should be able to know how to do every single thing and you should know your market really, really well. But all those things like sales, like calling people, like emailing them, like, you know, like messaging them on LinkedIn, all those things are extremely painful because most of the time you get slapped in the face. And, you know, like it's you need to have like zero ego at first. And step by step, you are able like to grow the company. So for me, in the early days, I had to think and be a bit more creative because there was this thing that we didn't have money that forced me to do like the things that couldn't scale and that actually helped me understand the market. And then after that, there were also another part, which was we launched initially on a platform called AppSumo, where basically you sell like a lifetime deal, which means that in 2 weeks we made, I think it was $160,000 or something like that. And we had thousands of users. And back then I was the only one doing customer support. So by doing like customer support and I was doing like this on three shifts, I realized like, you know, like I'm just going to die. It's like too much for me. So the fact that I didn't have the money yet to hire someone and really like build up the team, I just thought, okay, I'm going to, you know what, I'm just going to go and start creating a community. That way I will put a lot of content in the community and the community, then people will be able to help each other and step by step, we will grow like the biggest community in the world. And I am 100% sure that if I had like the resources or financial resources, I would have never do that. And I would have never been, you know, in that position where you have like so much constraints and so few or very little money that you have to come up with ideas that are just going to help you grow, but also like reduce your workload.
Yeah. And it's like pressure, you know, either breaks pipes or makes diamonds. So it's like, that's the thing. And if you're resting on your laurels and you have a lot of money in the bank, then you know, don't take those risks and everything. Exactly. So, and with AppSumo, yeah, that's a bit of a beast because a lot of people flood in and they're like, oh, I get this for lifetime now. And you're like, oh, great. Now I have to, you know, support you doing that. Mm-hmm. And the pivot to the community, is that kind of where this mission to help, you know, 1 million people start businesses, is that where that came from, building that community up?
I think it took me like, because to be entirely transparent, in the early days, I was thinking that the only path towards success was through raising funds. So I think I spent about 3 weeks talking to like investors, etc. And then they were like, who the fuck are you? Like, you're a guy who started like a t-shirt company and failed. Then you had an agency and you want to go in SaaS. You're like chemical engineer with like, yeah. I mean, you make no sense, man. Like, can you please stop talking to us? And then they were like, yeah, I mean, even you're a nice guy. Like, I mean, it's the market is way too competitive. If you do like 1 million within 5 years, you can consider yourself lucky, you know? And, you know, I was like, holy fuck. And I'm initially, because for me, it was the only path to success. I would go at it and go at it and go at it. And then I received a message of someone who I had onboarded on the platform, maybe like 2 weeks before that. And I had spent about like an hour or so to redo entirely like his sales prospecting campaign. Because in the early days of Lemlist, each client that I was onboarding, I was essentially giving him for free what I would charge like $500 when I had, or $600 when I had my agency. So, you know, like I had done that, and the guy told me that thanks to the campaign, he sent me an email. It's like, he was based in Australia, and he sent me like, hey G, like just launched my campaign and I closed like two deals out of it, which means that I generated like 40K in revenue. And now I can hire like my first. And then I was like so happy for him. And at the same time, I was like, I'm not making any fucking dollar out of it. Like, I'm really like, I really need to change like my mindset when it comes to business. But then, you know, like in the end, this is where I kind of like stopped trying to really like focus on VC money and all these things, because I was like, what makes me happy is when I'm able like to kind of change people's life or impact it, you know, in a positive way. And from that moment, this is why I wanted to start documenting everything. This is why I wanted to start sharing my journey publicly, etc. Because I knew that it could inspire or help other entrepreneurs when you're feeling down to just get like this little extra motivation. And the mission with entrepreneurs, I think it came a bit later when I think I realized that in my network, there were like so many entrepreneurs who were like following the journey, getting inspired, etc. That I said like, You know what? Like, this is really like and truly what I love. When someone, you know, like I met someone, I give them like a few advice or I give them actionable tips. And then like 5 or 6 months later, it's like, I've been following you. I've started my company. We are celebrating that we can pay ourselves like the first salary. And I'm like, this is fucking awesome. Because once you know, like lift those, you know, like mindset limitation that you can't be free and you can't like create something on your own, etc. And you realize that your life like changed entirely. And for me, it was such like a huge discovery that I want more people to feel the same and have the same like feeling when it happens.
Yeah, that's got to be a good feeling that, you know, you're making that large of an impact. And now it's like exponential as your company grows, like more and more people are seeing that impact. And I mean, on that, like what advice do you give to people thinking of starting their business? Like, what is the like the top two or three things they need to be doing?
I think like the first thing that I give is like build your network as quickly as possible, document everything you do. And, you know, like execution is basically the thing you should, the number one thing you should focus on, because your ideas might be good, but if you don't know how to execute, it will never work, you know, in the end. And the other thing I say, because I think like there used to be like the grind mindset, which I think where people were pushing a bit too hard on the hustle, like 24/7, et cetera, et cetera. And then I think started to come the total opposite of 4-hour week or we need to be chilled, et cetera, et cetera. And we started having like the extreme, you know, like opposite. And I was like, if you want to succeed in business, you still have to work hard. I mean, you know, like don't hustle like and die and, you know, like 24/7, but you have to work long hours. And this is the truth, you know, so hard work will pay off.
Yeah, absolutely. And that execution, even if it's imperfect and you're still making towards that progress, because a lot of people just are in research mode all the time and like all these startups building in stealth mode and you're like, okay, all right. It's like, just put some sunlight on it and see what happens. So one of your core values is get shit done. And I love that because that's, you know, what this whole podcast is all about. But what processes do you and the team have in place to help you stay productive and get all that shit done?
It's a good question. So I think what we use like OKRs, like a lot of companies, so objectives and key results. What we try to do is like every quarter, each team member should reflect on what they've been doing in the past quarter and set up, you know, their next key results. So I set up basically like a company vision with like the biggest goals, etc. And then everyone try to fit in that vision. And then after that, we review, you know, like all the objectives and key results. I usually challenge the team. Some of them are like, I would say, sometimes too optimistic. Others are like not enough. So it's just like trying to help them find the right balance. I feel like since I was the only one doing like business until 1 million in ARR, I had the chance to kind of like see a lot of things when it comes to marketing, support, sales, etc., which kind of like give me the credibility toward the team on what can be done and what cannot be done. And at the same time, right now, we also have like, so to me, what I think is like literally like the most underrated skills ever is know how to write, whether it's because writing, you know, whether it's like a Slack message or an email can really like change entirely like your world. Like it's something, it took me a lot of time like to understand it. But when someone sends you an email, everything is well outlined, it's clear, it's easy, and you feel like a breeze, etc. You don't have to reread it or like, oh shit, what is that person meaning, etc. Like those are the person that are loved and you know, like people that it's making people's life easy is so nice and so underrated. But to be good at writing, you need to find like a purpose. And for me, whenever like I have people joining on the B side, I make people write, and I make them write daily. So it sounds like a bit of a but it works like really well, in a sense that I have like this coaching program when I help each and every person who join like the Vision Empire to build their own audience and personal brand. So each and every morning we spend about like an hour as a team all together, like in our virtual office on Lemverse. And we are in a virtual room and we all write. And the idea is that each person has their own vertical. So let's say like that you are working, for example, as a copywriter at Lemlist, your vertical is going to be about copywriting. If you are working in sales, your vertical is going to be about sales. If you're working in branding, your vertical is going to be in branding, et cetera, et cetera. And the reason why I'm, you know, like asking people to do it is because I think that if you want to become like the top 1% or 0.001% of an industry or a skill, you need to teach it. Because the more you teach, the more you make the knowledge your own. And writing helps you have clarity on what you learned and also own a specific topic. So I've set up basically like a very like a actionable coaching program, and where people can just like follow kind of the steps. And I also coach them through like different sessions and help them like build their personal brand. And it's huge because you see people who joined us like a year ago, who were basically like no one on LinkedIn, like you would never see them. And now they are like just top of the first page all the time, like getting hundreds and hundreds of likes. And this is great because for them, it helps them like grow faster. It helps them build an audience, which means if down the line, you know, they want to start their own business or like change company, etc., they would have tons of leverage. And for us as a company, it's also amazing because if everyone who sees the post of people in our company and they're like, those guys have literally hired the best of the best in each and single department, it's, you know, like it makes people want to join the company. So it's really like virtuous circle. And at the same time, it makes people aware of our brand and what we do, which down the line also brings customers. So that's something like we've implemented and we've seen a lot of success. And where I see actually like a lot of companies holding back on this, because most like CEOs are kind of afraid when their employees are building a really, really strong personal brand because they feel like, yeah, they're going to leave, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to have more leverage, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that way. I'm more into investing into people and helping them grow. And I feel like as long as you're bringing value to your employee and really like challenging them and go to the next level, they'll stay with you as long as they are motivated. And if they are not, it's just time for change. I mean, you're an entrepreneur, you should know that, you know.
Right. Wow. That's very insightful and awesome that you build that. Is that training course going to be public sometime so everybody else can reap those benefits, or is it you going to keep it under the cuff?
A lot of people ask me about that. Right now, I would believe that I still need about 6 months to a year before making it public, just because I really want, right now I'm really scaling it. So I did it unofficially with a few people first. And now they have we're around 20 in the team, I think, running it. And it's working quite well. So I just need a bit more time to refine the program. And down the line, I might launch it as a course. Yeah.
Yeah, it becomes Lemrite or Lembrand or something, right?
Lemlearn.
Right, there you go. You already probably got it mapped out. That's awesome, though. But yes, I think you nailed it, of just that thought leadership, because it just bolsters their own personal brand and then your brand as well. And it's all about that consistency of writing every day. Really awesome. So how large is your team now?
We're just shy of 60, I think. So it's 55 or 57.
Yeah,
people.
So and a handful of folks are working in Paris, and then the majority are kind of remote. So how has that hybrid work been going? How do you stay productive when you're kind of all over the place?
Yeah, it's we have our virtual office where everyone is all day. So no matter if you are at the office or in any country you want, we can always hang out. But I do think that it just fits on what people want. And I think that's the most important, because me personally, I love the office. I love being with people. I love in real life and all these things. But I know that people really love being remote. And sometimes on my end, I do love to be remote as well, because, you know, for example, this winter I spent 3 months in South Africa and I was far away from the team, but I worked my asses off. I was super productive. It was really, really awesome. And when I'm in the office, I'm not as productive, but I have a different impact on the team as well. So for those who are here, we can have this casual chat sometimes at night where we have dinner or all these things where, you know, that there are this conversation that would never happen if you are just fully remote. So for me, it's just a matter of finding the right mix and just trying to connect overall with, you know, your team. And but yeah, overall, I think it's pretty smooth. And when you have defined, I would say a clear accountability system where people know what they are accountable for and you held them accountable, I think everything is pretty smooth, no matter how you work or where you work from.
Yeah, and having the tools Lemverse, where it's just a place for people to hang out. So it's just you don't feel isolated or alone, you know, because in Slack, it's if nobody's messaging you, then you're all by yourself. But in that, that's really cool. I'm excited to check that out and play around with that. So going from 0 to 10 million, you know, in 3 years, fully bootstrapped, is there anything that you would have done differently in the last 3 years?
That's a good question. To be entirely honest, I'm so happy with the spot we're in right now. I feel like if I say yes, I would be kind of lying, because I'm already really happy. But again, you know, I think I had to do some mistakes in order to become the person I am today. And I do feel if I hadn't done these mistakes, I wouldn't have learned all those things. But down the line, some of the mistakes I've made, I think it's most of the time it comes to hiring or people management, because obviously I'm quite young. So it took me a bit of time, you know, to get used to this mindset of, you know, hiring fast, or even firing people. And sometimes, you know, I was in the early days, because we had a small team, I would spend way too much time trying to coach people who were not really a right fit for the company. And because I had spent all this time, you know, you end up in this kind of vicious circle where you're I spent 6 months coaching them. They're not performing. I should maybe it's my way of coaching. Maybe it takes too much time, maybe. And you just continue to invest in someone that is not, you know, worth the time you're spending, either because they are not passionate or either because you, whenever you hired them, did not the right job. And I think that, yeah, after like some time, I realized that people are the key in any company, because as we said, you know, early on, like the execution of what you do is going to make you successful or not. And if you don't have the right people and if you can't manage them right, then it's a dead end. So I would say that the like biggest mistake or thing that I would do differently is like focus from the start on recruiting like A players. And if someone is not, just like, it's okay. Just move on and stay small.
Yeah, I think that's a tough lesson to learn, of just knowing when to cut ties with folks. Because, you know, you in the early days, you form those relationships and those bonds and they're like family. But you're like, if you're not helping us get to that goal and you're not a good culture fit, then, you know, we have to let you go. That's tough, but very practical advice. So let's talk a little bit about Lemlist, you know, your main SaaS tool. How does that help people save time?
So down the line, like whenever you want to message people, either to like build relationship, get to know them, and down the line, you know, like close them if they can be potential customers, you're going to have to send like to a specific audience your messages. So Lemlist allows you essentially to do that on multiple channels. So you could say, I want to send an email, then I want to send a LinkedIn message, et cetera, et cetera. So to create kind of like those scenarios. And on top of it, the key things whenever you do sales is following up, meaning that a lot of people get busy inbox all over the place. And if you don't follow up, you usually like don't get any replies. And Lemlist allows you to do basically automatic follow up whenever people don't reply after a certain amount of days.
Awesome. Yeah. And then follow-up, I think, is key with that. And a lot of people will drop the ball and not, you know, not worry about those things. So having a system at your back and, you know, a tool to help you do that is really, really awesome. So one of the things that was really interesting as I was, you know, researching everything that you've done is you really doubled down on video, even like hiring a videographer, like one of your first hires. So what advice do you have for a company or a team that's looking to do more video marketing and kind of go that video route?
And that's a good question. Like our tagline is actually do what you shouldn't. So hiring like a videographer when you're a SaaS company, it's like people would be like, we're just saying like, what the fuck? You know, like this guy is just a megalomaniac who wants to have a videographer in his team. But I do think that to me, video is just like a great way to connect on a much more emotional level with your audience or the person around you. So my advice would really be like, be natural. Like, don't try to be someone else. Don't try to like create something that's not you. And when you do that, you should not sound or look too corporate. Because right now, especially when you see like the biggest social media at the moment, and where you're like all the metrics are like going through the roof, is TikTok. And TikTok is about like a lot of authentic you know, videos where people are just like no filters, and it's the opposite of Instagram on that end. And I do feel like this is a trend that people really enjoy. And same on YouTube, you have a lot of people who have very poor setup, just a camera or a phone, and they are like talking, and this can work well. So at first, you know, was my videographer, what he was doing was mainly editing, and the videos I was recording were mainly going like through my phone and doing very simple things. So my advice is, start small. You don't need like fancy equipment, fancy microphones, etc. to get started. Just get started, record as much as possible, stay natural, because the thing is like people will buy your product because of you. If you're a CEO or a marketer, or they will buy your product because of the trust they can get. And if you are not yourself, people are going to feel it and they're not going to trust you. And if they don't feel it, you're going to feel it and you won't be able to be consistent, because after a bit, you're just going to be like, who the fuck is that guy or that person? You know, like, it's not me, you know, like, it's not the real me. And down the line, this is, if you want to really build an audience and grow, you have to be consistent. Like, consistency is literally like the one thing you need to become the best at what you do. So that would be kind of like, I would say my three advice. So be yourself. Record like with no fancy equipment so you can get started like really quickly, and be super consistent. If you start, you have to commit. Don't focus on the outcome, focus on the output. So lots of people are going to say, I want like 10,000 views on my videos, etc. Like, don't focus on that. Focus simply on saying, I want to create at least one video every day for the next 100 days. If you do that, at least you have your focus. At least this is something you can control. And down the line, you will see like audience building up and you will get all the little things that are going to give you like the energy to continue to do that for like a year or two or three or four.
Yeah, that's amazing advice. And I think, you know, a lot of people might be scared away of just showing themselves, but as long as you're yourself, then, you know, it's going to be everything that the audience wants anyway. It's just that authentic person and then just that consistency of doing that. So a question I have for you, you know, where you have Lem Lists, Lem Pod, Lem Stash, Lem Show, Lem Road, Lem Verse, Lem Pyre. What's the significance of Lem? Where did that come from?
So it's actually like a great question, because back in the days, it's actually my dad who found like a Lem List as a name. So Lem List was our first project. And afterwards, we kept the Lem and we decided to call the company Lempire. So Lem for my dad stands for Lunar Excursion Module. And he was saying, with Lem List, you're going to bring your customers to the moon. And I kept it and I really enjoyed it. Because my goal in the first days was really to have like something that was easy to say in any language with two syllables, so like quite short, and where I could get the .com domain. So we were talking about emails, then list, and then he said Lem List. And then I was like, oh, I love it. Let me check. The .com was free. It was a word that did not exist. And then down the line, you know, like you have a... Fast forward like 4 years later, you see like Lem List and you see hundreds of thousands of results on Google, etc. And you're like, this is what I built like from scratch. And this is quite exciting. So I love, you know, to have a word that didn't exist before, to have created something around. And yeah, it's nice. It's just like a nice feeling.
Yeah. And I totally know where you're coming from. I searched Google or domains all the time on the Whois database and just like, is that available? Could that be a business? Is that a thing? And then now you're standing on top of all those results. So well done on all that.
Thanks.
So your goal for this year is, you know, was to do 30 million in annual revenue, now kind of adjusted that to 20 million. So, you know, how are you setting these targets and ensuring that, you know, your team's not getting burnt out with this acceleration?
Yeah, it's a good question. So initially, like the idea behind aiming at $30 million was if we would have slowly focused on Lem List and be like really going, you know, like all in with all our team, et cetera, on it. But then we realized that, yeah, we loved doing multi-projects, and based on our global vision and on the fact that our mission is all about, you know, like helping more people, we decided that, okay, we would go to 20 million, but this would be the year where we would be really structuring like our company for this multi-projects vision and long-term vision. So instead of doing like 3x, I think I focused on saying like, yeah, you know, like 2x sounds like a very ambitious and at the same time doable like goal. To answer your question about how exactly like do I set up these goals, to be honest, the goals that we set are just a mix between being ambitious enough so the team feels like really challenged and at the same time being realistic. So I just usually look at our month over month growth rates. I try to project it over time. And because last year, we made that mistake to hire a bit too quickly. We had to kind of like restructure the team at some point, which was quite tough. But I think like a lot of like startups have to go like through that phase. And if they don't, I think it crumbles later on. So it's better to do it quickly. And it was on my end, to be honest, like my fault 100%. I felt like I let my ego, you know, like getting too much in the way of our vision and everything, because when you're bootstrapped and you know, you have other people asking you like, okay, how big is your company, etc. Like if you say 10 people, people obviously think it's a very tiny company, even though you can be making millions, but they think you're a small company. But when you say like, yeah, we're 30, 25, etc., like people starting saying, oh yeah, really? Wow, that's big. And then 3 months later, it's like, oh yeah, we're like 40 now. And like, really? And you know, like I had this feeling that the more we were hiring, the more we were doing something cool, and that was nice to have more and more people. But actually, I felt like the culture was not there anymore, that people did not fit, and that we are letting that go. And for me, it was like the worst, you know, when you don't recognize like your company and the values and everything. So I had to kind of like restructure everything. So that's why kind of I rearrange, I would say, like our goals. So for like two reasons. First one is just main vision and strategy about going multi-project. And hence, on the technical aspect, we have to do like some changing that are like very important. And secondly, it's just matching the team and challenges.
Yeah, and that specialization, I think, is going to be key of just having those groups just focus on those one, you know, that one offering. Because as you have so many things, if you're doing a scattershot, then potentially all of them will fail. So it's awesome that you're kind of taking that and restructuring everything. So apart from those revenue goals, what's next for your team?
So right now we're quite actually like we are scaling the team. So we have created a specific department with a people department where they are like really helping. Like I want people, like my goal is for people who join us to become the best at what they do. So instead of focusing too much on, you know, like the outside results, etc., like I've kind of like shifted my focus toward the team and toward making sure that they are in the best position possible to learn. And for that, we have decided to invest in coaches, training programs, outside courses, like all these type of things, because we hire people we trust and we want to invest in them. And for that, outside help is something that we value. And I do feel that sometimes you hire people who are a bit junior or want to like change kind of like position. And for that, you need sometimes to have like help and outside help. And so for me, I think like this is really like a heavy focus. And for the team, we have like so many exciting projects that I feel like everyone is just, you know, like excited about what's coming next. And we're always trying to be more creative, do things that we shouldn't. And yeah, I think it's quite exciting.
That's awesome to hear. So where can folks go to learn more about everything that you and the team are working on?
So lempire.com has pretty much like all our projects. And if people are curious, like they can reach out to me directly on LinkedIn. So Guillaume Moubesh, probably very difficult for you to spell it. So I guess we can put a link yep. in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll create a blog post and put all that information up on our site as well. And awesome. So, gee, it's been great to talk with you, to learn everything about Lempire and all the great stuff that you and the team have built so far and continue to work on. And thanks for all the great advice with everything. Hope you have a good rest of your day and you have a good weekend as well.
Thanks a lot, Ben. I really enjoyed our chat.
Awesome. Take care.
You too. Take care.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Get More Done. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite platform for upcoming episodes and share it with anyone you know that would benefit from the conversation. If you and your team are tired of all the back and forth emails to find the right time to meet, check out our solution and start automating your appointments. Start your free 2-week trial at youcanbook.me. What will you do with all the time that you save?